God's grace and peace to you on this Thanksgiving Day from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Y'all awake? Amen. Amen. All right. And in my research this week on the internet, I found out that Thanksgiving Day is the second most popular holiday in America, the first being Christmas and the second being Thanksgiving. I want to ask, if Thanksgiving is so popular among Americans, do you think it's because they love to give thanks? Or is it because they love turkey and pumpkin pie and football? How about you? Which would, what makes this holiday so great for you, and what are you going to be doing today? Well, there's a whole lot to love about this holiday, and family is great, and football is fine too. Those are wonderful things. Enjoy them. But will we give also thanks to God on this day? That's what I'd like to talk about with you this morning, because it's fitting for us as Christians to always be abounding in thanksgiving, and especially on this national holiday of Thanksgiving to celebrate with our country, the blessings God's given us. So on this great Thanksgiving Day, have Americans forgotten to be thankful? Have you? Well, last year, Newt Gingrich wrote an article called To Whom Do We Give Thanks? Addressing the American people. And in it, he referred to this picture. You probably can't see it well. I can hardly see it from where I am. But nevertheless, it's a picture of the pilgrims as they're setting out from the old world to head to the new. And in this picture, they're leaving Holland on the Speedwell. As you know, that boat had some problems, and they went back shortly thereafter, got the Mayflower and came ashore. But he says, this picture is an 18 by 12 picture in our United States Capitol building in the center of our nation. A huge picture showing what Thanksgiving in America was founded upon. And in this picture, we see here the Bible is that white piece in the center that really stands out against all the darkness. And surrounding that are all the pilgrims. There's John Robinson, the pastor, and William Bradford, and Miles Standish, and their families. Over here to the to your right is the old world, dark, Europe and the continent and England. And over here to the left, across the sea, is a shining rainbow and light pointing to God's providence and blessings upon them. And here in this picture, they're in humble prayer. Well, you know what happened to them. They had a very difficult passage across the sea. One even fell overboard, but they rescued him back aboard, John Howland, I think. And when they came ashore that first winter or so, 47% of them did die, and they had scurvy and many hardships. But after the third year, or on the third year, Governor Bradford made this proclamation. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squash, garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch he's protected us from the ravages of the savages, and has spared us from pestilence and disease, granted us freedom to worship God according to our conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. So listen to ye pastor this morning, and maybe we should extend this till noon. I got time. The clock back there is a little broken. If it says 10:05, I still think it's 10:05. We got plenty of time. But Newt Gingrich's point was that, you know, here's the founding of our country. And it's based upon thanksgiving to Almighty God. And this is a great start for our present day holiday and when we ought to remember. But it's so easy to forget God's blessings. Now, we have a few here who are farmers, but most of us don't get into the earth and actually feel it anymore, right? We just think Walmart has got plenty of food for me for the rest of my life. And we tend to forget that it's because God sends rain. It's because God produces of the earth by his own divine decree that you eat and that we live. We ought to remember this. But America has forgotten that, largely. And in fact, even throughout the early days of America, Thanksgiving was not really celebrated much, sporadically here and there, until, anybody know? 1863, with Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, when things were looking so bleak, yet he says, "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields, healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we're prone to forget the source from whom they come, others have been added, of such an extraordinary nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. Our blessings are gracious gifts of Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It seemed fitting to me, therefore, and proper, that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the American people." And then he sets aside November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So that's why we're actually here today, because Abraham Lincoln in 1863 established a Thanksgiving Day for our nation, because we are so prone to forgetting it. And as though with most holidays, especially with Christmas and Thanksgiving, what starts with religious overtones ends in secular pleasures. Isn't that true? Will we give thanks today? There's a TV show called The Simpsons. Anybody watch that? Well, don't say that. Because, for what I'm about to say, because Bart Simpson, this cartoon character, his Thanksgiving prayer was this: "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." Can you believe that? How scandalous and wicked that this is on our TV stations. And I say, God will requite the person for their deeds who put this on there. But on the other hand, I think it brings up a really important point. How do you give thanks to a God that you don't know, that you don't believe in? How can an unbeliever really, truly give thanks to the one he can't even acknowledge exists, or even look to understand that these blessings come from the hand of that one? America, by and large, today, is more apt to wish upon a star that cares for them not than to give thanks to the God who cares for them the most. What about us? They have not the faith to see the invisible God and his blessings, but do you? Have you gone along with the stream? Remember what God says to us in Acts chapter 17, or actually Paul is preaching here to the Greeks. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. Life and breath. Okay, take a breath. Do you know God just gave that to you? Try it again. Do you think maybe when you breathe in, you can say, "I'm receiving a gift," and on your way out go, "Thank you"? That is a gift to you from God. You could not breathe. Life and breath and everything. But our eyes are so often, we're so plain dumb. We're so plain hardened that we don't always see these thanksgivings that we're being blessed with all around us. Jesus said, God makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And Paul says, what have you that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? Have you money today? Well, God gave it to you. Are you wearing clothes? Thank God you are. God gave you those too. Everything you have has been given as a gift to you. Will you acknowledge that today? Spend some time in the midst of football to say thank you. Breathe in his gift and breathe out thanks. For don't be deceived, my beloved brothers, says James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift. Let's recount a few of those. Our bodies. You got a hand? You got an arm? Strength? Eyes to see, ears to hear, smells, taste. These are gifts of the Lord. You got a wife, a husband, children, grandchildren, a house, home, food, goods. You got a beautiful sun in the sky and moon at night. Blue skies, nature, clothing, friends. God's given you a country, safety, governors, military, policemen, officers, and he's given you Jesus and salvation through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, heaven, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to ask you, are these inalienable rights? We say, as in our country, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are our inalienable rights. Well, as Christians, are they really our inalienable rights, or are they sheer acts of grace to unworthy sinners out of the blessing of Almighty God, who's chosen to love us anyway because he delights in you? Isn't that a wonderful thing? They're not really inalienable rights. These are gifts that we ought to give thanks for. I was on a beach 2 weeks ago. My boat, its zinc on the propeller shaft was coming loose, and so I had to take it off and put another one on. Went out to an island in the Indian River. And it was just a beautiful day. Oh, and I, after I fixed the zinc on the shaft, I hoisted a big American flag, and the boat was almost ashore, just anchored just off. And I walked the island and walked back up the sand shore, the beach, and it was just flapping in the breeze. And I looked at all these things that God's blessed me with, and I sat down on a little edge of the sandbar. So it was about 8 feet long and about 2 feet wide, and I was surrounded by water. It was a quiet afternoon, and I dipped my hand into the water and watched it drip off, and I said, God, look at all this you've blessed me with. I'm not worthy of that one little least drop that falls from my finger. And I watched it fall into the water. And I said, and yet look what all this you've given me, and house, and home, and a boat that I don't need, but it's such a blessing, and salvation, and a family. And even if all these things were taken away, I have Jesus and an eternal life with you, and I know you. God, thank you. And not that I'm always this great with my thanksgiving, but I was really touched at that moment, and I think this is the way Christians ought to be. Because Jacob, when he was returning to the promised land, he says to God, you said to me, return to your country and your kindred, that I may do you good. I'm not worthy of the least of all these deeds of steadfast love and faithfulness that you've shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I've become two camps. You acknowledge the gifts God has given you today? I'm thankful for football, too. I'm thankful for pumpkin pie. I'm thankful for family. And if I wasn't, then I'd be a turkey. And God would cry foul. But God delights in the praises and thanks of his people. And that's why we saw in the gospel lesson for today that Jesus came upon 10 lepers. And it says that they cried, have mercy on us. And he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has saved you. Notice this. 10 received blessings, but only one turned back. 10 were healed. In the Greek, ya'omai. Healed or cured. Only one turned back. 10 were cleansed, katharizo, from which you get cathartic, ritually cleansed, declared clean. But only one was sozo in the Greek. Only one was saved, the one that returned and gave thanks to God. This one was saved. Do you know the way? If God gives blessings to the world and we don't return to him thanks, we're breaking the circle, right? The whole circuit is this. God gives blessings down to the earth, and we return thanksgiving and praise to him. He blesses us with gifts. We return thanksgiving and praise. He blesses us with salvation. We return to him praise. This is how our relationship is with the Lord. He gives, and we give thanks. He gives, and we give thanks. And that's what we are to do, not only on this Thanksgiving Day, but every day. And no matter what, how's the devil going to sow discouragement in your heart if it's filled with gifts and thanksgiving and gifts and thanksgiving and gifts and thanksgiving? How are you ever going to be discouraged in life or afraid or upset or nervous or anxious, if Thanksgiving is a field blossoming and abundantly in you, there's no room left for those other things. So let's nurture this. So may our nation this day turn to God and, falling at his feet, give him thanks. And may we especially, who have the greater blessings of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. God destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. He has lavished upon us his love. Let's lavish upon him, to the only wise God, our thanksgiving and praise, which are due his name. In Jesus' name.